Okay, we're going to start today. The title of my message is A Purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of you. He doesn't leave you in the lurch. Some people say that. And that's what we got to remember. God has a purpose for you. And also that God, with that purpose, gives you peace. He gives you fulfilling. He tells you what you can do and where you can go. And we all have different purposes. If we all had the same purpose, it would be an extremely dull world. We would all be the same, and we don't want that. We want people to be different. We want people to have different ministries, have different outreaches, different things they do. So what I wanted you to open your Bibles up, or open your iPads, or whatever you've got handy, or your whatever these little, whatever they are. I'm old-fashioned. I still got the Bible. I'm one of these people that, you know, that I still like to read it out of the Word. I still like to read. I read books and stuff. I still enjoy that. Now, I know computers are nice, and they're the up-and-coming thing. You can have your Kindle. You can have your iPhone, and you can have all those good things. I get totally lost. You give me an iPhone, and it's a dangerous thing. I have no clue what I'm doing. Now, my wife's got used to it. She's actually using. Lord actually uses the iPhone. She has pretty good handle on it. Me? Not a clue. I get lost. I know people tell me, they'll teach me. Yeah, I'm one of those old dogs. It's hard to teach this old dog a new trick when it comes to stuff like that. Not into technology. Getting off. And also, I'm one of these people that get off on rabbit trails. I shouldn't, but I do. So don't be surprised if you see a few rabbit trails this week where, you know, we're all talking about something and all of a sudden I'm over here. That's just me. That's my personality. That's who I am. I can't help it. Just like my waving my arms and hands. Laura, I'll tell you, when I'm sitting around the kitchen table, I'm talking and something comes up and I got something exciting. Here's my hand. It's up here and it's all over the place. I know another person that does that too. She's sitting back there in a sound system. No, you would never do that. No. So we all have different personalities. We all have different ways we react and do. And that's what's so great about being who we are. We're all different. So let's go to Mark chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 30 and 31. I got several different scriptures we're going to go over today. And I think everybody knows this one by heart. They probably know it by heart. Everyone that's in here. We're going to start at verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We're going to concentrate more on the second one. We're going to be concentrating on loving thy neighbor. But I want to go into the first one too, because we can't love our neighbor if we don't have the first one. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's required. And I know that everybody I'm talking to has that relationship. I'm sitting here today, has that relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to go big into that today. That's not going to be my thing. Because without that relationship, you can't have the love that comes from in your heart and from your soul to reach out to others. Now, I'm not going to go into a gigantic evangelistic message as such today. I'm going to go what you can do on a daily basis to touch others, to touch the unsaved, to touch the lost. We're going to talk about what we can do in our lives and what we all need to do, and sometimes we don't do that we should do. I'm guilty as everybody else. God tells me to do something. I don't always do it. And I admit it. I don't even deny it. Laura, I'll tell you that I like to watch what the kids call shoot 'em up westerns. And she gets a kick out of that, me doing that. You know, the old westerns where, you know, they shoot 'em up. Call them shoot 'em up westerns. Liam calls them shoot 'em up westerns. And on that, they have the, have you ever seen those Colonial Penn commercials where they got shoulda, coulda, woulda? Has that ever been your life as a Christian? Coulda, shoulda, woulda? I've been there. Well, I coulda, shoulda, I shoulda done that. I woulda done that. But, you know, we can't live with that coulda, shoulda, woulda. Next day, we need to go out and do it. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to do this stuff. But we're going to talk about how important you are to God and how God has a place for you and how he wants you to do that. So what we're going to do is I want to go to how do we love our neighbor? That's what it's got to talk about. First is love Jesus with all your heart. Next is let that love pour out to others. Do you love others? And you know where you need to start is with your personal family. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't do that basic, You're not going to reach anybody out in the community because they're going to see through you. They're going to look and they're going to know that you're not really doing what you say you're doing. So you got to love your husband. And they come, you know, first comes Jesus Christ. Next comes your spouse. Or is that person connected to you? That has to be the way it is. It just, and then you go from there. Then you go to your family, your kids. You go on out and you stretch yourself out. But you have to do that. That is a requirement. It's not even an option. It's not even something you can say, well, I'll do it if I want to. No. You husbands, love your wives. Do something special for them. Show them that you love. You know what? You can run a vacuum cleaner. You can wash a dish. It won't kill you, husbands. You can do things like that. Wives, you can do something for your husband. You know, whatever it may be, you can do something. So that's what we need to do. We need to love one. So who is your neighbor? I want you to go to Romans 12. We're going to be kind of going to Romans. We'll be in Romans basically now. We're headed to Romans. We'll get there. Take your time. I'm no rush. I'll be reading out of the NIV. There's a reason I'm reading out of the NIV, and I'll tell you that in just a second as soon as we get to Romans. We're in no big rush. We'll get there. We don't need to be in too much of a hurry. This Bible, I'm thankful for, was at one time Brian Tamney's Bible. He was a pastor here a long time ago. And he gave it to me. He was getting a different one. And he said I could have it. And I've never parted with it. It's an NIV, so you're going to have to translate with me because you're probably in a New King James Version, more than likely, or one of the others. Well, just translate with you because I read out of the NIV because I like the NIV. Sorry, way it is. Have to deal with my quirks. And Laura, tell you, I got many quirks and phobias. No different, you guys. I got things I do that's weird. None of you guys do anything weird, do you? Nah. No, we all got weird things we do. And that's just the nature of us as beings. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with, I want to read chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. It says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And that's why I want to stop on that one. God's going to take care of that. But so who is our neighbor? You're not going to like what I'm going to say. Your neighbor's your enemy. Your neighbor's the one that persecutes you. Your neighbor's the one. And any of us had neighbors that we wish we didn't have? Have you ever been there? Any of us lived anywhere, wish we had a neighbor. You know what God tells us? We're to love them as our neighbor. We're to lift them up. We're to pray for them. Because God tells us that we're to love one another. That doesn't mean to love the people that are nice and kind to you. That's easy to do. Anybody can do that. If somebody treats you well, it's easy to love them, right? I can hang back. But somebody that doesn't treat you well and treats you badly, a little harder to love, isn't it? It takes a little more challenge. So God tells us that we're to love, even though we don't want to, we're to love. We're to love our neighbor. So who is your neighbor? Guess what? Everybody but yourself. Everybody is your neighbor. Everybody that you live around is your neighbor. Everybody that you deal with is your neighbor. They may drive you up a wall. They may drive you crazy, but they're still your neighbor, and we're to love them. Because you know that God loves everybody? He loves the rankest sinner. He wants them to come into the community. He wants them to come into the community of God and accept Jesus, but he loves them. And that's hard for us to grasp with because we're finite beings. We're not infinite. We don't understand all those things. I'll be the first one to tell you I don't. I'm thinking, how can I love somebody that does that? Because God gave me his love. So I got to take that same love and give it out. And that's what we're going to talk about today is love and the things to do and how important you are. You are important because you're the one that's going to spread this love. You're the one that's going to go out into the community and you're going to love. And it may not be where you witness to somebody with direct witness. It may be, but it may be where you just flat love on them. Just tell them what they're doing is good, that you care about them. Is it always easy? No. The devil wants to keep you in your little shell, keep you back there, keep you quiet. He didn't want you out there saying that you know, God does that. But you know what? God gives each one of us a calling. And that calling is to go out and to spread the gospel of his kingdom. And it may not be a salvation message. It could be just that you're loving on them, that you're caring about them. But it may be a salvation message too. God may call you to give that. I don't know. That's between you and God. So we're going to start with Romans. We're going to start 1 through 8, chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. People always ask, how do I know what God's will is? What does God have for me? And it's really not complicated. It's really simple. You read his word. He tells you what you should do. And you go do it. And it's not like I say, all of us have ministries. They may be different. You'll know when God tells you what to do. And we have many varied ministries. I'm going to go into that a little bit later. We have very, very many ministries that are available. So you say, well, I don't have any ministries I can do. There's nothing I can do. Nah, there's something you can do. I can guarantee it. You can do something like I'm doing. You can get up front and teach the word. I'm very much into teaching. I've taught Sunday school for many, many years. And I love teaching Sunday school. Don't like it. I like to do it. I like that thing of getting out and teaching kids and telling them what God's word is and that. But we all have ministries we can do. Are you going to do your ministry? Or are you going to sit on your haunches and just let the world pass by? That's something you got to think about. It's what you got to do. And what I'm so pleased here when I'm talking to all you guys, I kind of makes it easy because I know all you guys go out and do these things. All I'm doing is just kind of reinforce it. Because I know each and every one of you fairly well. And I know any of some visitors, but I know you go out and you do things for God and you lift him up. And that's what it's about, is lifting God up. So let's go on down. It says, for by the grace of given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of the faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts working in us. All the gifts are available to you. At any time, God will use the gifts. And we all kind of think about the major healing gifts, you know, laying on of hands and people getting healed of physical ailments. And we kind of relate to that. But you know what? There's more healing than just that. There's relational healing. One of the greatest miracles you could ever see is a young family struggling, not knowing what's going on. And God comes into their lives. They get their lives in order. Things function. I think we all pray for our kids and we pray for our grandkids and we pray for all that, that their life may be in order, that they may be serving God and they may be reaching out because we do that. And we can all do that. There's every one of us can be what I call intercessory prayers. We pray for those around us. We lift them up. We say, hey, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. So we know there's many, many gifts and many ministries available. We're going to read about some of them. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If God calls you to prophesy, and I'm talking about, I always kind of looked at prophecy. There's a couple different forms of prophecy. Prophecy, one where you actually prophesy something in the future. And there's also prophecy of, I call word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is God gives you something that if a certain person does these things, God will bless them. It's a promise. And those promises are in God's word that if you do such and such, if you keep your life in such and such an order, God will bless you and God will prosper you. That's what I call words of knowledge you can give to other people. In other words, it's saying words of knowledge, or it could be words of encouragement. I call words of encouragement. They all flow together. A word of encouragement is where you lift somebody up. I'm one of these people that I'm kind of the perpetual optimist, and I feel we should be that with other people. Be the perpetual optimist. Don't condemn them. Don't knock them down. Even when they're doing something wrong, if you have to correct them in love. Correct them in kindness. Don't be correcting them with a big old broom and a baseball bat or whatever it may be, because you know what? They get condemned the way it is. They get condemned enough. Because the devil's out there condemning them, telling them they're worthless, telling them they're no good, telling them they don't have anything they can offer. That's the devil. So we as Christian brothers and sisters, and also as Christians loving on others, let's not be condemning. We haven't walked in their shoes. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know what's causing them, so we lift them up. We give them that ability to say, hey, I can do something for you. I can do something for God. Because it's all about purpose. Without a purpose in our life, we're lost. Everyone knows if you don't have something, you have a purpose, some goal you have. And there's goals are great. I love it when families have goals, things they want to achieve, things they want to do. Because those purposes is what makes your life worth living. Those purposes are where you're going to go. So we're going to read some more about some things you can do. You can say, well, what can I do? I'm going to give you a whole list of them. If it is serving, let him serve. How many of you are servants in here? I know, but I think every one of you are servants in here. You serve other people. You do things for other people. That is a blessed thing. That is an important thing. That's where your importance can be. If you're just a server that serve other people, you've accomplished so much. And you got to realize that when we live in this life, sometimes the devil will come and he'll say, ah, you haven't done anything. You haven't reached anybody. You don't know. Because a lot of us don't see a lot of salvations. I'll be honest. I haven't seen it. But you know what? You've touched somebody. And you don't know. Somebody else may bring that person to the Lord because you are the one that touched them. You planted a seed. You watered that seed. And then somebody else sees that seed come to fruition, come to growth. But you've done something. So never, ever let the devil tell you that you're not doing something, because you are. Whenever you give a smile, you tell somebody that you love them, you tell somebody out in the community that they're special, you've done something for God. You're planting that seed, or you're watering that. And if somebody else brings it to fruit, fantastic. I mean, I don't care where somebody gets saved. I don't care if they get saved in First Christian Church. I don't care if they get saved at the cross. I don't care where they get saved. I just want them saved. I want them to know that Jesus Christ loves them. So if you have a servant's heart, that's one of the best things you're going to have. That's one of the greatest ministries you'll ever have, is having a servant's heart to serve others in all different ways. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. There isn't a teacher that isn't here. I'm going to tell you out front. Every one of you are teachers. Oh, you may not teach a Sunday school class. You may not teach an adult class. You may not be a minister up front, but you're a teacher. Grandparents, you're teaching your grandkids. You're showing them how to live. And that's what it's about. It's all about practical application. We never want to be high in the sky, holier than thou. You know who did that? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They went around with their little prayer shawls and their bells and go, look at me. I'm something else. I'm God's. Wow, look at me. I'm special. God's up in heaven going, no, you're not. You're just like everybody else. You're special in a sense you're special, but you're not better. You're not worse than anybody else. The only thing that makes us different from the sinner is the grace of God, that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, and that we accepted him. That's the only difference. Never look down on somebody that uses drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Never look down upon them. They're in a stage of their life where they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that his convicting spirit will come upon them and to accept Jesus. That's what it's about. But we can't get them to do that if we don't love them. If we don't give them that caring, that ability to say that. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. We have generous givers in this church. I'm going to be honest with you. They have always had, we got a brand new roof. Then when that came, I thought there was, no, I didn't know how we were going. I'll be honest with you. I'm treasurer. I keep track of the books. And I had no clue how in the world we were going to put a new roof on. Didn't make any sense to me. I thought, we got a new roof. We don't have the money. It wasn't in the checkbook. It wasn't in the savings account. But you know what? We have generous givers that that roof was paid for. We don't owe anything on the roof up there. We don't owe anything to anybody right now. Praise God. And that helps us because of generous people that give. So if God calls you to be a generous giver, do it. You know, do what you got to do. But give according to what God has called you to do. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And that could be leadership within your family. Maybe God's called you to be the head of the house, to lead in a good, fair, equitable way with your family. It may be called leadership in the community. Maybe God's calling you to run for a public office. I don't know. Maybe that's what God has given you. Maybe that's your place. Maybe that's your where you're supposed to be. Maybe you're supposed to be in that type of leadership. I don't know. That's between you and God. You got to take it before God. So you could be in leadership. You could be doing that. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Have mercy upon others. Don't be condemning. Be that type of Christian that lifts others up, that doesn't tear them down. You may not agree with what they're doing. You may think what they're doing is wrong, but don't condemn them. If you do have to have correction, do it in love. Let them know you care and let them know why certain things are wrong. We all know that abortion is wrong. But if somebody would have an abortion, we would still love that person. We wouldn't love the action because we believe in this church that life begins at conception. That's why you're never going to get a pro-choice and a pro-life person to ever get together. Never happen. Never going to. Because pro-life believes that life begins at conception. Pro-choice believes it begins at birth. Two totally far spectrums of life. So our church believes that life begins at conception. So we don't believe in abortion. Just, I'm not going to tell you we do. We don't. Okay? We're firm believers in the sanctity of marriage. We're firm believers in all these different things. We believe that a husband and wife get together. They make a commitment to each other, to serve each other, to be with each other through thickness and thin. Is it always going to be perfect? Come on. You guys are married. How often is it perfect? You're not going to tell me, are you? Especially you guys. You're going to be quiet about that. It's not perfect, but you've made a commitment. You said, hey, we're going to see this through thick and thin and all those good things. And that's what commitment's about. It's like serving Jesus. It's a commitment through thick and thin. When things go great, when things go bad. And I'm not going to tell you that life isn't going to go bad. You're going to have trials and tribulations as long as you live here. Those are not going to go away till you're up in heaven. And that'll be a great time when we all go. Don't take me wrong. I want to be here, but I'm also not thinking that's going to be a bad deal either. I'm not going to have any cares of this world. I'm going to have all the praise and the glory and worshiping him. Now we're going to go on to the another section I want to go about. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Does that mean we love what is evil? No. You're not going to love. If you have a family member that's on drugs or doing something, you're not going to love that. No way. You're going to hate that because it's evil. But you're going to love that person because you know that God can change them at any time. He can take them out of that drug habit. He can take it out of that addiction to alcohol. He can take them out of that addiction to pornography or whatever it may be. He can take them out of that, and he can free them from that. He can do it any time. So we love them. We'd never give up on anybody. Never, ever, ever give up on any family member, on any person in the community, because God, there is hope. There is always hope. We never give up on hope. Because hope is perpetual. It's what God is about. God is about hope. So we can have hope that we know that that person is going to come to a saving grace. And we believe it. Even if we don't see it in our lifetime. There's people you've prayed for. And you've been praying and praying for them. And you may go. And I know people that have prayed for other people. And they go into heaven. And they don't see it. But then later on, somebody else sees it. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Share with those who are people that are in need. Give of yourself. And sharing need may not be money. It may not be, you know, sometimes sharing is just flat a listening ear. Somebody wants to just talk to you. You don't have to give them all kinds of spiritual advice. They just want somebody to listen. They want somebody to talk to, somebody to hear them out. I always call it venting. It's ever been around when you want to vent? You just need somebody to vent to. You just need somebody to say, hey, you know, this is bugging me. And you got to be careful you don't get into the thing, well, do you do this and this? No. If God tells you to do it, fine. But sometimes it's just flat out listening. And us men have a trouble with that one. Us men want to solve problems. Any of you guys why that way? You want to solve problems. And sometimes you can't solve them. You just got to listen. And that's hard for us husbands. Sometimes it's hard for us to listen without wanting to solve it. Well, I'm going to solve it for you. No, only God can solve some problems. Only Jesus can do it. We as husbands would love to do it. We as would love to solve it. But we can't do it. We just got to listen. And that's hard to do. It's hard to sometimes just be a listening ear, showing brotherly love, showing hospitality, reaching out to our brothers and sisters and giving them something to hope for, giving them a purpose. That's why I say I keep bringing up that purpose, but we have to have a purpose because you're going to flounder. You're going to wave in the winds. You know, when you go in a wheat field and they go back and forth, how everything talks out in a word. If we do that, we're going to flounder. We're going to be lost. But if we have a purpose, if we have something God has called us to do, and each of you in here has a purpose, don't let God ever tell you you don't. You do. You have something you can do for His kingdom. The key is doing it. It's not always easy. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone to do that thing. And that's not easy. I'm just telling you, when I'm sitting here preaching, guess what? Coming right back to me. I'm listening to what a kid, because God told me all this stuff this week. I'm going, ooh, I'm kind of rough. Trying not to be too rough on these people. Try not to get them too worked up. But God does do that. And He says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate people of low position. Do not be conceited. Don't put yourself above people thinking, look at me, I'm godly and holy and I'm perfect. No, you're saved by grace. You have God's holiness. You have Jesus Christ's holiness, not your own. Because if it's your own, it's called self-righteousness. You've been around self-righteous people that think they're wonderful. They think they've got it all together. They don't do anything wrong. They don't make any mistakes. Everything they do is, you know, I'm right in God's there. I got it all together. Whenever I see somebody that tells me they got it all together, I run. They scare me because they don't have it all together. None of us do. None of us have everything to where we know exactly what's going to happen and where we're coming from. None of us. So don't look down on people that because that's a false thing that'll get you in trouble. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't get even. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't try to be vengeful. Don't be envious. Don't treat people and try to have something that's somebody else's. God's got blessings for you. Let that other person be that other person. There was a lady that went to our church a long time ago. She was a nice lady, but she kind of summed it up. Don't be envious of others. Don't look at what others have, because some people have more than you. Some people have less than you. Look at what God's blessed you with. Thank Him for that, because God has blessed you richly. We lived in a very blessed country. We take it for granted sometimes that, you know, we have food on the table. We have a roof over our head. We have all those things. We live fairly comfortably. I think everyone in here will say they live fairly comfortably. May not have everything they want. May not have that brand new Lexus sitting in the driveway. May not have that big old boat sitting on the lake, but you have the things that make life comfortable. There's a lot of people in this world that don't. There's a lot of people in this world that are living from day to day, meal to meal, don't have a roof over their head, in a war torn country where they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So be thankful. Be appreciative for what God has given you. If it is possible, for as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And we talked about that earlier. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God has a purpose. I keep stressing that. God has a purpose in your life. Let him do it. He's not going to force you. God doesn't do that. God made us creatures of free will. He doesn't make us robots, automata, whatever you call those. He doesn't make us that. Some people say, well, why didn't God make us all that? We're just going to do the right thing all the time. Because God wants us to love him. He wants us to do it freely. He wants that love to come from our hearts, not because we were required to do it. He wants us to love him because we want to, not because we have to. So when you're looking at what we talked about today and thinking about it this week, and I like for you to think about it this week, and I got a couple of scriptures I'm just going to give you for reference, because it's kind of the reference I use this week. So in summary, we do have a purpose in God's kingdom on earth, to love one another, to live in harmony with one another, share with God's people who are in need. God calls us to be, you know, there was the, in Acts, we found out that when it was first starting, people were giving together. They were taking their money and they were putting it together as a thing, and they were giving it out and feeding the widows and orphans. Now, you got to realize during that time, there was a lot more widows and orphans than there are nowadays, because a lot of people didn't live near as long as we do. I mean, your lifespan was fairly short, so you end up with more orphans and widows. So they were serving them, and they were having trouble sometimes because some of the apostles, and this is good, wanted to get more prayer time, more time to seek the Lord. So what they did, some of the people were kind of grumbling, saying, you know, we're not taking care of our widows and orphans. Well, they got together, they prayed about it, and they picked men to take care of that portion of it, do that serving, to make sure that the money was taken, food was bought, the families were fed, the widows and orphans were taken care of. So they set that up, and that was kind of that. That's why I say it's so important. If you're in a ministry of giving, providing food, doing whatever doing, you're doing a ministry that God has called you to do. So what they did is they take these, and one of them, as everybody will remember, was Stephen. Everybody knows what Stephen was. He was the first martyr, right? He was the first one that was killed for his faith and belief. And we know that Paul was there at the time. And that was, I think, a setting stone for Paul, that he came to know the Lord and God gave him a conversion due to those things happening. So Stephen was called to be one of those people that helped get that. But in that process, he grew and came closer to the Lord. And really, even to his martyrdom, he became a great stone for us to realize what we should do and how we should live. So you can always read about that. Never fail to read about that one. Honor one another above yourselves and never be lacking in zeal. What's zeal? Zeal is being excited. And we should be excited. We got the greatest gift that was ever given. We got Jesus Christ. Our God loved us so that Jesus died on the cross. So we should be happy. We should be, just excited that Jesus is our Savior. You ever woke up in the morning and just say, Jesus, I love it. You're my Savior. This is so exciting. I'm getting ready to face another day, and I know you're there. And it's exciting. It's thrilling. So have that zeal. Don't get rid of it. And we know people that have zeal. They're excited. They love the Lord. And they want to go out They want to tell people about Jesus in many different ways. Some may be a salvation message. Some may be just a word of encouragement. Don't ever doubt that anything you do for the Lord is vain or goes down without being purpose, because it does. You touch a lot more lives than you'll ever, ever know. I can tell you from example, I had an uncle, and I talked to him later years, and sometimes he got a little discouraged. He says, I just know if I felt like I've done anything. And I thought, yes, you have. If it wouldn't have been for your words of encouragement, for your words, and seeing how you lived and what you did, I may have never came to the Lord. But I saw how you lived. I saw how you treated your wife. I saw how you treated your family. And I saw your love for Jesus. Did he actually win me to the Lord? No, he didn't. I didn't get a salvation message from him to win me to the Lord. But he touched my life. And that's what you do. You touch each person's life. So never, never take that for granted, that even though you may not see that salvation, you may not see that person come to the Lord, you still have touched a life. You've touched somebody. So never quit trying to touch somebody's life. Never give up. But always realize you have a purpose in this life. You have something God's called you to do. If you're reading this week, well, I got one more thing I had written down. Avoid apathy. And the reason I can say avoid apathy, I've had it. You ever get a case of apathy? Where you just feel like, that's not important. I really don't need to do that. I don't really care. Am I the only one that's had that happen? I think we all have that point where sometimes we get apathy. Well, that's where we got to call on God. That's where we got to go back and get excited again. That's where we got to say, Jesus Christ did it all for me. And what I need to do is just return some of that. Just return a portion of it. Give back a little bit. You'll be surprised. Just giving back a little bit's a lot. Because Jesus gave so much. That's how you control apathy. Is giving back to Jesus. Giving back to God. And do we all face it? Yeah. I wish to say we didn't, but we do, because we are of the human, and not we are humans. We're not perfect, never will be perfect, can't be perfect, can't happen, but we can still be loving, we can still be kind, and we still reach out to other people. So if you got your notes here, and you are taking notes, Corinthians 12, just review the whole chapter. It'll give you an idea of some things you can do. Ephesians 4 through 16. that's some scripture you can read. These are some of the scriptures I read this week preparing the lesson. And then Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's all my stand. That's always my standby is Galatians. I think we got a couple of minutes here. I want to go to Galatians because I think it's important. So if you have your Bible, open up to Galatians. I got to find it. Here it is. Galatians 5, 22. Everybody there or getting close? Got your pads up here and all this good stuff? Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's one of the ones I buried in my heart, because it's so important that we love, we have joy, we have peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have those things in your life, you're developing those things in life, God's going to use you. God's going to have a purpose in your life. And that's what it's all about today. That I want each of you, if you do nothing else when you walk out this door, that realize that God has a purpose in your life. He has something he wants you to do. Avoid the coulda, shoulda, woulda, and just flat out go do it. And is it easy? No. But nothing worthwhile is ever easy. If it's worthwhile, it's going to take some work on your part. That kind of concludes what I had to say today. And We're going to close with a word of prayer. And before I do that, I want you to know, if you have any needs for prayer, anything that you want to pray about, you're welcome to come up here and we'll have somebody pray with you. We have our elder Steve and myself, and we have our board members that are here that will gladly pray with you and lift you up and that. And before I close, I want you guys to have a blessed week. I want it to go great. And I want you to make sure you see you here next Sunday for the picnic, because I think we're going to have a great time. And also, Wednesday night service is starting up again. So that's coming up, not this week, but the week after. So don't forget that. So keep that on your calendar. Okay, let's close in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we could gather today, Lord, that we could hear your word, Lord, and that we can apply this word in our lives, that we can go stronger in you, that we can thank you for all you do, and that we can reach out into the community, into the byways, the highways, and we can just flat love people, love them for who they are, not condemning, not being hateful, not being unkind, but love them. And we thank you and we praise you for this day you've given us. And I just ask that you bless each and every one as they go this day. In Jesus' name, amen.